Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Content at the same time. And Kev, we are excited because the NFL playoffs is going to get going this weekend. I told you, I usually consider division weekend the best weekend in football, where we get 4 games, including the ones and two seeds. But I may have to change my tune after this weekend, because while the Chiefs and the Packers are on their bye resting up, we get 6 wild card games. I'm really excited. It's going to be wall-to-wall football, a triple header. Like, what are you doing? Have you gone out and gotten your provisions just yet? Extra toilet paper and the like for this weekend?
Listen, I'm just pumped. I think I have to say for the NFL, for all the other things maybe we ding them for, I mean, instantly, like before we've even played these games, the expansion to 7, it's like, yep, that was the right move. Like, and I 2 extra playoff games. Yep, got that one right. So I give them tons of credit for that. This is incredible. I'm already in my mind pulling like a whole college football playoff thing. I'll expand to 8. Expand to 8. See? More games.
See, and the college playoffs should just expand to 16, because the more the merrier. Kev, I want to, before we get into these games, right, and we're going to break it down every way, right? We're going to talk props. We're going to talk sides. We're going to talk totals. We're going to talk about some of the interesting kind of special bets and markets that our friends and partners at FanDuel have available for the playoffs. We are truly excited. I do want to ask you about one thing. I remember a few weeks ago when Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, when Baker had to quiet his home crowd. And I told you, Kev, that is something we got to keep our eye on, right? And now as we hit the playoffs, one of the things I find interesting, the 6 home teams this weekend will have dramatically different levels of fan capacity, or permission, shall we say, in the stands. Look, everything from Buffalo will have almost 7,000 of Bills Mafia in the building going through tables. You know, I heard Stefon Diggs say that he has never played in front of Bills Mafia before, so that would be pretty exciting. No fans in the Pacific Northwest, no fans in our nation's capital, only 3,000 up in the Dome in New Orleans. I know you had something to add about that. We're going to have 2,500 people in Pittsburgh, family and friends, at least, you know, maybe Brian Kelly and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish would be okay if the friends and family were able to come. And the most, Kev, is in Tennessee. And in Tennessee, we're going to have like almost 14,000 people. You know how I talk about the home dog. It seems like one of these home dogs is going to have, you know, some fans there as well to root on their team. Do you think, or what level of impact might this have this weekend?
I feel like in part you did this specifically for me because of the number of football Fridays where I'm like, Dane, does home field matter? Like, why is this this and why is this that?
We got to complicate things.
Right. Like, we have an exact idea as to how many are in the building. I've personally still been trying to factor in home field, even if you don't have fans in the building, travel, just the comfort of it all to me has mattered. But to kind of get that exact barometer of how many people will be in the building, it only increases it, the existence of home field advantage.
No, absolutely. And then do me a favor, Kev. You mentioned that Saints head coach Sean Payton, you know, they got what, 2,500 friends and family, it sounds like, right? You were saying that Sean Payton was kind of lobbying for a little bit more as we welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Big shout out. Thanks for getting up on the grid early with us, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. This is the Early Line. Kev, Sean Payton wanted to maybe enhance his home field advantage, have more people in the dome standing up and getting crunk. Talk about who that?
Right. So, yeah, we always talk about Dan Mullen and his desire to pack the swamp. Sean Payton was trying to see if he could fill out the stadium down there in New Orleans. I will give him credit. He understood that maybe a quarantine process and it all would be very important to keep it safe. But I mean, he wanted to quarantine over 50,000 people and then let them into the stadium the next day. Honestly, I'm okay with a spin zone that, like, Saints fans would be appreciative of that attempt because I bet you that there's a lot of Saints fans that would gladly
quarantine
in order to go to that. And honestly, like, and I'm not taking a shot. Like, I mean, but the idea that they would find a way to safely house the 50 some odd thousand, and I mean, a wild suggestion from Payton, but one I'm honestly not all that mad at.
I mean, can you imagine this? Imagine if they were just like doing vaccines in the parking lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you can tailgate, just bang, then you get vaccinated, then you can go in. I actually think that would be a great idea. You know, you could process people a lot quicker than we are currently in the United States of America. But what about, you know, Kev, will it matter? You know, I kind of think it will, because not only the crowd itself, but remember, we've talked about, you know, quiet, the quarterbacks being able to, you know, change calls, hear calls. There's a lot of other impacts we've seen. Mm-hmm. Something to keep an eye on, all the way from 0 to 15,000. We're off and running. We'll be talking about these games when we come back right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're everywhere. Radio, the internet, TV, satellite, and our mobile app. We make it easy. Like, real easy. In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All Welcome back, everybody, right here onto the early line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid, Dane and Kevin. And Kevin, we got six big-time wild card games, so let's get it on and pop them. I guess we'll take them in chronological order, right? And so tomorrow we start off with the Indianapolis Colts going to Buffalo to potentially go through tables when they see the Buffalo Bills. Kev, the Buffalo Bills, as people know, won the AFC East. They have won the AFC East. It was the first time since 1995, 25 years since they won the division. In an interesting wrinkle, oh, there you go. Another guy was born that year. In an interesting wrinkle, Kev, you know, since the Bills have won the AFC East back in 1995, Kev, the Patriots have obviously won the division, right? The Jets have won the division since then. The Dolphins have won the division since then. Kev, do you know that there's another team that has won the AFC East more recently than the Buffalo Bills did in 1995? Who might that be?
So the four teams that are in it, right? The other three have all won it. Obviously, it's not the Bills.
Yeah. There's another team that has won the AFC East more recently than the 95 Bills.
I can't say that I know who.
There you go. And ironically, it is their opponent this weekend. The Indianapolis Colts won the AFC East when they were a member of the AFC East still in the late 90s. That is not the only kind of, you know, connection there. As we were talking about before, Frank Reich, the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, certainly knows how to do his thing and come back in Orchard Park, engineering one of the greatest comebacks in playoff history over the Houston Oilers. But that was in the past. Let's talk about the present. The Buffalo Bills are 6.5-point favorites. 51 is the total in this game. Kev, honestly, I see this game has like two different narratives that are plausible to me. One is that this Buffalo Bills offense that is rolling under potential top three, top five MVP candidate Josh Allen, they continue to stay hot. They score in the upper 30s, in the low 40s, and they win this game. Mm-hmm. I also can see a universe. We talk about this all the time. The Indianapolis Colts are a team that is not built sexily, right? But can maybe travel well, maybe can be good in a playoff scenario. Good in the defensive line. Was good on the offensive line. They are very banged up on the offensive line. Will run the ball, can stop the run. And then when you add to it the potential of what we've talked about, that big mistake, that whammy, I can also see a path where it's one of these nip and tuck games where the Colts are hanging in it and then Allen makes a big mistake. Which kind of these paths do you think is more likely?
Yeah, you know, the Bills offense and trying to be convicted or you know, sure of how this is going to go. Because, Dane, there isn't that layup, right? Because I know how naive it would be to say, why would they all of a sudden stop scoring? Because we know what happened with Baltimore last year.
Playoffs, right? Yeah.
But Baltimore basically was gone for 2.5 weeks. I mean, none of them played week 17. They had a bye. Plus, they were hardly playing in fourth quarters, right? Like, Buffalo last week went out there for a half and was like, yeah, by the way, let's just start pumping up some numbers, guys. And all right, we'll hit the bench. So they are as fresh and as hot and as dialed in as can be.
Yeah.
For me, I don't feel comfortable just predicting Buffalo not being able to score anymore. Because a Colts defense that has pieces that can make some plays here, I don't think it's the unit we once thought it was. This, like, okay.
That's
top
fair.
Five in the league, shut
they've
everybody down type of unit, right? Mm-hmm. So I think Buffalo, even if maybe it comes back a little bit, right? I mean, I think they are going to still get somewhere near 30. I mean, the Bills have covered 8 games in a row. They have won. I mean, you know, the whole thing of like, oh, they would have won like 10 in a row if not for the Hail Mary, right? Like, they have just been playing such good football. They've won every single game since they've come off their bye, 6 straight. And, of course, right, covering in all 6 of them. What's really interesting to me is the Colts, this is going to only be their second time all year as an underdog. Like, what in the Kansas City Chiefs do the Indianapolis Colts think they're doing, only being an underdog once this entire season? But if you go through,
that is crazy.
And this, I like, The Colts had so many games of just minus one, minus one, minus one and a half. Like, oh, that's a weird line. This is weird. Like the one time they were a dog was the Cleveland game, where they were like a 1-point dog. And at one point, they were probably a 1-point favorite in that matchup. So the Colts come in, and you can't really point to a ton of times where they were like, this is the biggest that they will be an underdog all season long.
I think the Titans blew them out. That's about it. That
100%. Like, I think that a lot of people, of course, are going to want to talk about the sides, but where I do feel confidence going into this game is the over. And I know it's a high number, but again, you know, this year on the road, the Colts are 6-2 to the over. So the offense has traveled or the defense hasn't traveled. Either way, they're playing to high scoring games when on the road. And I'm just going to trust Buffalo to still be able to score. I know Diggs and Cole Beasley a little banged up.
Yeah.
I know the calendar turns and we now get to the postseason. But I still think that 51, 51.5 as it currently sits on the FanDuel Sportsbook, I still think this game can play to the over. Because, Dane, sometimes I feel like you'll maybe be a bit more conservative in what a team can do. And you're like, yeah, listen, like they're going to play into the high 30s, low 40s. Like the fact that that's possible for the Bills, this could be a route for Buffalo. And you can still get over that number.
Now, I hear you. They are the second highest scoring offense in the NFL this year at 31.3 points a game. They also are number one in the league in terms of converting third downs, being able to keep those drives going. As we see some of the props that are out here for the Colts and the Bills, are there any that kind of strike your fancy? I got to tell you, one that I saw on the Colts side, it's not listed, but I think you're right. Remember, the path of this Buffalo Bills offense to still be really, really humming, right? They are. That's part of the reason Josh Allen didn't rest much in week 17, right? They wanted to keep that momentum going, and we talked about that. One player that's not on the list for the Colts, but if the game script goes the way you're talking about, and you know the running back on the Colts that I've been into all season long, Kevin, it's Nyheim Hines. Listen, JTT, Jonathan Taylor, has been good lately. He winds up leading the NFL rookies in terms of rushing yards with 1169, tied with Antonio Gibson with 11 touchdowns. But if you think these Bills can score 30, 40 points, they're not going to have JTT on the field as much. I think Nyheim Hines will be on the field if they're in that kind of two-minute drill, if they are in shotgun, a lot of it. And Kev, let me see if I can interest you in this. Nyheim Hines' scrimmage yards, rushing and receiving total is 48.5. I think he can go over that if there is a game script like you're talking about with this Bills offense getting in 30, 40 points. What do you say?
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. Nyheim Hines has been super valuable for this team. But I will say, you know, Jonathan Taylor's rushing prop right now is 77.5. And when we get to, I mean, these props are always incredibly sharp. And the more high profile the player, the sharper those props will be. And now we enter the postseason. So the world where Jonathan Taylor rushes for either 77 or 78 rushing yards feels wildly live. With that being said, the one thing that Taylor has been doing for the Colts is hitting home runs. And that's what you want when you're going to play over on a yardage prop is a guy, because even if the game script gets out of hand,
64 on one of them,
And that's the thing that makes Jonathan Taylor an attractive option when it comes to rushing yards. The other thing I'll throw out there is Stephon Diggs has gone over his reception prop in basically every single week this season, I think, except for maybe week one. That number 7.5, it's plus 102 to the over. I would think as we get to the postseason, I mean, Josh Allen's looked his way all year long. But now in the most important game of Josh Allen's young career, I got to think he's looking at Stephon Diggs as much as possible. I certainly don't have what it takes to play an under on a Stephon Diggs number.
No, listen, he led the league in receptions and in receiving yards. You mentioned he was a little bit banged up with the oblique. He will be just fine. Cole Beasley in the knee may be a little bit more of something to monitor, but I think ultimately he'll be out there as well. We turn our attention to the NFC West trilogy when we come back right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line. Dane and Kevin, big shout out to all of our affiliates, everybody who's waking up bright and early, getting the winning edge right here on the grid. That is what we do. We also welcome everybody out there listening on Sirius XM Channel 204. Welcome. Hopefully you guys now get the winning edge as well. Kev, as we move on in Wild Card Weekend, the next one is, you know, a third matchup of the year. And that's what happens when you get division rivals also playing in the playoffs. It doesn't happen that often. It'll happen once Saturday and once on Sunday as well. The Seahawks are 3-point favorites. 42.5 is the total, Kev. This line has been moving throughout the week. I believe it started as high as 4.5, right? And I have interesting questions on the movement and on the total, and a lot of it is due to the injury report, shall we say. On the Rams side, we know the huge question about starting quarterback Jared Goff. Will he be able to go with that thumb that he just had surgery on less than 2 weeks ago? They do have some good news, though, on the Rams side, right? Cooper Kupp activated. Looks like Cam Akers will be okay without an injury designation. Michael Brockers looks like activated from COVID. And also, their stud tackle, Andre Whitworth, looks like he'll be okay coming back from a knee injury. That looks like they are getting healthier. On the other side, though, Kev, especially a unit I'm intrigued by, the Seattle Seahawks secondary is pretty banged up. We know about Jamal Adams with his shoulder, but also Shaq Griffin has a hammy that he's dealing with. That back end could be compromised. Listen, the Seahawks defense has been getting better recently. Unfortunately, it's kind of combined with the Seahawks offense being less productive. A lot of ways to analyze this one. What do you think ultimately is going to go down? What are you watching for in this game?
Well, I think the interesting thing is we still don't have 100% confirmation that Jared Goff will be the quarterback. Yeah. Now, they said that he's been able to grip and throw a football really without issue. So unless Sean McVay is like, Jared Goff stinks, it's going to be Jared Goff, right? And now, I understand that he's not going to make that announcement. Why not make the Seahawks practice a little bit more read option coverage if Wofford's going to be in it? Quarterback,
prepare for it all.
But everything points us to Jared Goff, and there are definitely a lot of health questions coming into this game. The interesting thing is Seahawks Rams. Obviously, they play this is the third game, and it's the division rival. But Seahawks Rams marks what I view as the collapse of Russell Wilson. I mean, it was at this point that he just stopped putting up gaudy numbers. I mean, he scored more than 28 points once since we hit that game against the Rams. I mean, it just wasn't the same. It just wasn't.
Right.
And I've been wondering to myself, are we going to hit the postseason and it's going to go back to what it was? Because this is the thing about Seattle is, I believe this is by choice. I refuse to believe that if they decide, you know what, we're going to cook, that he doesn't just go back to cooking. Because I do think Russell Wilson is that good.
Because he's Russell Wilson, for goodness sakes.
For real. And that's a real thing. And on that notion too, Dane, and I'll tell you this right now, I like Seattle. Let this line keep falling. It's -3.
Okay.
Great. I don't know. Let's get a Jared Goff conglomerate to push it to 2.5.
Okay.
The Seattle Seahawks, right? When we were talking about this team all the way back when we were doing roster
in September
resets.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And I was like, Dane, like the regression on these one score games, you're like, it's Russell Wilson though. I'm like, can't argue that. The other thing that they had going for them in 2019, right? A year where they still won 11 games. They were 4-4 at home, which doesn't really make much sense, right? 12th man, like you would think they would be good at home. Well, that's come back this year. They are 7-1 straight up at home against the number. They're 6-2.
And their loss was the Giants.
And their loss was the Giants of all things. Yeah. No, right. I believe the other non-cover was the Minnesota Vikings game, right? Oh, okay. So they still got the job done in that game. Right? So, yeah. So the one loss is the Giants, outrageous. And then, but the other non-cover would be the Vikings. Like 6-2 against the number as a home favorite this year, obviously favored in all of those home games. That's enough. I have the quarterback trust advantage. I mean, it could Russell Wilson.
We did this earlier in the week.
Could like do a press conference, tap the mic, and say, "By the way, I'm going to continue to play the kind of football that you hate, Kevin." And I'm like, "Ah, it's fine. You're playing golf. I still trust you 10 times more, pal. Don't you worry."
There you go.
Plus, this game is in Seattle. Plus, golf is a little bit compromised here. Of all of these spreads, and I would never dare call anything easy. But it was the easiest decision for me to make amongst a bunch of hard decisions this week. Taking Seattle at -3 was the one that I felt most comfortable with.
So let me ask you, Kev, because, you know, you have been talking about the statistical regression of Russell Wilson, right, throughout the portions of the season. And now you're kind of maybe going back to him a little bit because, you know, he is who he is. And I want to trust a guy like that in the playoffs. But what about the fact that he's not going to see this Rams defense, and he's going to see this Rams defense for the third time? I mean, there were Rams looking into the camera being like, we wanted Russell Wilson, right? And this defense can do kind of whatever they want. I mean, Kev, they are number one in the NFL points per game allowed, 18.5. Number two in the NFL in sacks this season. Number one in the NFL in yards allowed this season. Number one in the NFL in passing yards allowed this season, with Jalen Ramsey being able to shut people down if Russ wants to cook. You know, I see some of the prop bets on the Seahawks side. Russell Wilson's prop bet is like 250-something. I'm intrigued by this total. It's 42.5. They played the first time this season, it was in the mid-50s. They went under it. They played later on in the season, it was like in the high 40s. They went under it. This time, it's 42.5. This is the number one scoring defense in the NFL. What do you think about the total, Kev? Do they go under the lowest total of the weekend?
I think it's really important that you brought up the previous totals from when they played, because not only did they go over or under rather those previous totals, but the points scored in those games is under this week's incredibly low total.
They have not cracked 40. Was it like 20-9 or something? I think the last that game.
That was the most recent, and then the first meeting was 23-16. So they've not cracked 40 yet, right? So the question becomes, as we now see the third total be almost 2 touchdowns lower.
Yeah.
Is that an overreaction or is that a
too far
correction that was necessary? This Rams first meeting started a run of 7 consecutive unders for the Seahawks, and the only reason it wasn't 8 because there were 21 points scored in the final 2 minutes and change in that game against the Niners. That's the only reason it wasn't 8 consecutive unders from when they first met the Rams. And the Rams, 12 of their 16 games have gone under. These have been super under teams, but the number is so low.
Would you know, Kev, you know, you said that -3 for Seattle was like not easy, but maybe one of the first things you gravitated to. Would you tease this game? Would you tease this game with such a low total? I could see moving it down and try to hop over it even easier. I know you like Seattle, but getting the Rams at over 9 with a division matchup, would you tease this in any direction?
Yeah, I think the idea of who the Seattle Seahawks are, no matter how good they play, it's typically one possession games. It feels
right. Especially so you division would think game. To yourself,
right. So you would think to yourself, oh, I've got the Rams, you know, and maybe you play a 7-point teaser. You get it all the way up to that full 10, right? You get to that full 10, but
and then give me 35 and a half.
Not mattering.
I think it'd be Thunder 5.5, maybe.
Last go around, I guess, didn't even get over that.
Like, think about that. Last go around, Rams plus 10 over 35.5. Both numbers lost on their own merit. Like, the Seahawks won by 11, and the game only had 29 points scored. Like, that's what makes this game difficult in terms of the teaser option, because the value of the teaser would point towards putting it on the Rams. But I like the Seahawks, right? And teasing Seattle to plus three.
You don't go through zero like that,
Right, that's what I'm, it's just not the same value. It defeats kind of the purpose of the teaser. So I think if you are someone that backs the Rams and you wanted to tease, I think that's a good spot. And I will tell you this, if you are backing the Rams, you have to like the under. I think you have to.
Right.
Because unless you think the Rams are going to, with a hampered Jared Goff, turn into a pass-first offense, like, the Rams being within striking distance plays to the under. So Rams plus, you know, 9, 10, and under 48.5 or 49.5 would be the – I think that would be the teaser option, but I'm not sure I end up on that teaser.
No, that makes sense because, again, with these divisional matchups, you know, there's so many different kinds of games we can see. And with this spread at 3, like, you tease one way, you still may be outside of those parameters. You know, I talk about the Rams defense, Kev. Aaron Donald continues to be an all-time great on the defensive line. He had 13.5 sacks this season, Kev. That is second in the NFL. Now in his 7 seasons in the NFL, Kev, Aaron Donald, in his first 7 years, has accumulated 85.5 sacks in his first 7 years. That's pretty good, right, Kev?
Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
That is good enough for third best all time in his first 7 years. Aaron Donald's 85.5 sacks are third best all time for someone in their first 7 years. I'll give you a hint. His 85.5 sacks is half a sack better than Derek Thomas. It is 2 sacks better than Von Miller, who are the only 2 men, Kev, in their first 7 years to get more sacks than Aaron Donald. I'll give you the commercial break to think about it, and then we'll talk about the action going on in our nation's capital.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line. Dane and Kevin breaking down Wild Card Weekend. And when we went to the break, I asked Kevin a trivia question, because Aaron Donald and this Rams defense that is really top 3, if not number 1 in so many categories, is really going to maybe cause fits for Russell Wilson, led by Aaron Donald, who had 13.5 sacks this year. That was second in the league this year. And, you know, he's had a great run to start his career, Kev. In his first 7 years, he's accumulated 85.5 sacks. In a player's first 7 years, that's good for third all time. You guys were batting around some answers. Who do you think are the only other 2 men who have accumulated more sacks in their first 7 years than Mr. Aaron Donald? I'll let you make some guesses. Go ahead.
Yeah, so here's the deal, right? I had a list of 3. Ran it through Brian during the break. He named 2 of the 3 names. So I'm pleased with those answers, because even if they're wrong, I don't think anybody would be like, oh, those were bad guesses. So we'll go LT and Reggie White for 1 and 2.
One of those 2 is correct. Reggie White is number 1. Get Kev, in 7 seasons, Reggie White had 110 sacks. In his first 7 seasons, Aaron Donald at 85. Okay, another 25 for Reggie White. Number 2 is not Lawrence Taylor. Okay, you can make a guess.
I have a guess.
Who's your last one?
I have a guess.
Go ahead.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt is incorrect. I am surprised that our good old producer Venmo Brian did not mention this man. if that's a hint for you, Brian. Because the answer is DeMarcus Ware and his 99 and a half sacks in his first 7 years. Absolutely. Kev, as we move on, somebody who may find themselves on this list in six more years is Chase Young of the Washington football team, right? He's been an absolute beast, including, by the way, he's got a fumble recovery, Kev, in three of his last four games. And I know this, one of the things Washington will need to do if they want to win as a home dog in our nation's capital tomorrow night is get pressure on Tom Brady, right? We know that Brady doesn't like guys around his feet, even when he was amazing with the Patriots, right? It was that Giants team with a solid front four that could all bring pressure. That's what we want to do. You don't want Tom Brady to be there and able to pick out his matchups in a clean pocket. So talk to me about this one, Kev. The football team, the 7-9 winners of the NFC East, are 7.5-point home dogs. 44.5 is the total here on Saturday night.
Honestly, I love how much I hate this game. It is what a mess. What a mess I have on my hands here with Bucks Washington, because the Bucks are a team that had that four-game get right off the bye that I wasn't going to buy into. And through the first two games, I'm like, you smart son of a gun. They don't look anywhere near as good as these results say. And then the next two games, it's like Brady, AB, they're back.
They look pretty good.
That's pretty explosive, right? Pretty explosive. And now they're playing a Washington team that honestly can't do, to me, anything on offense. Like, Alec, we went through the list of quarterback confidence rankings. Alex Smith, to me, is 14 of 14. And you can go through any playoff experience you want with Alex Smith. It's just not the same guy. I mean, Tyler Heineke has been taking first-team reps at certain points throughout this week. Like, Alex Smith might not even be the guy you are backing in this game. So this really comes down to how many plays can this Washington defense make? How uncomfortable can they make Tom Brady? Because to be fair, during a four-week stretch, right, where I would say you are more inclined to buy it than I am, right? Falcons twice, Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings. I mean, the level of defense that they played in that four game, the highest of the high of how the Bucs have looked, would acknowledge that we are talking night and day in terms of competency on the defensive side of the football. But what does it matter if Washington can only score 7 points? Right?
Exactly.
Like, it's going to be really hard to make this a 7-3 or a 14-7 game. And I almost feel like that's what they need to do. Taking 7.5 when you know that the two other times, the teams that went in at below 500 won both of those games, it feels like the quote-unquote safe way to play it. But I can't sit here, see a final score of 24-7, and then be like, oh, I can't believe. Of course I can believe it. I have such low expectations for this Washington offense. My play that I would trust the most here would probably be a Washington team total under 17.5, which is, look, it's an odd way to play it. Again, I know people want their straight sides and straight totals, but I just got to see it for how I see it. And I think Washington's team total under is the one thing I think I feel most comfortable with.
I land in a similar zone, Kev, right? You know, you talk about this recent success of the Tampa Bay Bucks offense. Kev, it's really had an impact. I mean, they are all the way up now, Kev, to third in the NFL at 30.8 points a game, just a couple of tenths of a point behind the Buffalo Bills offense at number two in the NFL that we've been talking about, right? Kev, their margin of victory, which I also think is an interesting stat, they are winning games this year 8.6 points a game. That is more than the Buffalo Bills' margin of victory at 7.9 this year. So they have been humming, and it has been making them strong. I think you're right, though. This Washington defense that is top five in the NFL, right, is that a different challenge? So I ask you, Kev, and I come at it the same way you do. All right, the Bucks are averaging 30 points a game right now. Even if they see a better defense, and the Washington defense is fourth in the league right now, giving up only 21 points a game, let's say the Bucks wind up, let's split the difference. If I tell you the Bucks scored 24 or 27 points in this game, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how Washington can have a total higher than that. You talk about the experience of Alex Smith. Sure, fine. Antonio Gibson don't have it. Terry McLaurin don't have it. Logan Thomas and Sims, these guys don't have it. I just don't know if they can hold up to your end of the bargain if the team total is around 17 and a half. I just think ultimately the Bucks will have too much offense and experience on that offense. I mean, AB, yeah, Gronk, they've been here before.
So here's the thing, though, Dane, and this is, yeah, why listen, and you know this, right? There is a reason why I said preemptively before the bye, I will not buy Tampa Bay.
You
right?
Did.
That wasn't just to say I don't care. Like, they have played six games this year against playoff teams. Do you know their record in those six games?
I know they beat Green Bay. That's one of them. I know they lost to the Saints twice. So that's one and two out of the six. I'll say one because you're going to make your point. I'd say it's the win against Green Bay.
Yeah. They're 1-5 against playoff teams. Like, and if you look at the losses, right? Like the Bears home against the Rams, like they got doubled up by the Saints. The Chiefs got them. The one win they had is Green Bay. And I remember making that point about this team. I said, if it wasn't for that Green Bay game, they're the same exact team as the Chicago Bears. Nobody believes in them. But they have that Green Bay win, winning by four touchdowns against a Packers team that entered the game, I believe, unbeaten. And that obviously was a big deal when Tampa Bay got that job done because they were coming off of that loss to the Chicago Bears. But 1-5 straight up against playoff teams, like, that's horrible. I mean, that's,
so let me ask,
like,
you, though.
That's unforgivable.
Let me ask you, though, that 1-5 that you describe, yes. Do you think anything has changed for them? Remember, there's that late buy, this stretch that you're not going to, yeah, buy into, right? And you were preemptive of that. I hear you. So it sounds like at this point you got to kind of stick with that train now, right? But all of those six games that you describe happened before their Week 13 buy, before Antonio Brown seems to be rounding into form, before maybe, as I keep on calling it, a kumbaya bye week for Bruce Arians and Tom Brady trying to figure something out. They look like, Kev, you know, they have looked good. I understand maybe level of competition and that stuff. They have looked good. Do you think, you know, it's about teams improving, getting into the playoffs. So you could tell me that they're 1-5 against these teams, but that might have been a different Tampa team. Do I fundamentally believe that maybe the team is rounding into form? And if they are at all, if they're a different team, if they're a better team, I don't really care about what happened earlier in the season. And here's what I'll also say, Kev, if Tampa does get this win, you know who they are likely to see next week? The one of those playoff teams that they did beat heads up in the regular season, the Green Bay Packers.
Right. So the interesting thing is, like, week 14, right, was when the four-game run started.
Yeah,
week 11 and 12, they played the Rams and the Chiefs. Like, it's not like we're that far removed from two of those six games that they played against playoff teams. And that's why, and I remember making this point as well.
But are they different after the
bye? But it's different. So the Ravens had that game against the Browns. And I said, thank goodness they at least have one game against the playoff team so we can see what it looks like, right? We don't have that for the Bucks, so we have to try, right, and figure out, was it schedule, was it timeliness, and how much you want to wait at all. And the thing is, those first two games didn't look great. And then they played a Detroit. I mean, that Detroit game was a disaster. That Falcons game was close for a while until it wasn't. And again, give them credit for being able to pull away and close the door. And the fact that, you know, they scored 26, 31, 47, 44 is great. Can they really do that against this Washington defense, as good as this Washington defense has played? Because these defenses, I mean, when they've played a defense of the Washington level, right, Brady's looked toast. Like, not as good, toast. But they're playing. The only reason, Dane, that I don't enter this game with conviction on Washington, mm-hmm, is I'm so low on what they bring to the table offensively.
An offense.
And, yeah, maybe that's just why an under outright is a play here of 44.5. And this number's been coming down. Now, this was 46.5 earlier in the week. People have been hitting the under here nonstop. And if I lose this under because Washington has a scoop and score and then Brady has a late time Mike Evans touchdown, then so be it. But this feels like a game. We enter the fourth quarter. It's probably one possession either way, and it's been a rock fight for three quarters.
Yeah, you listen, if this is a kind of tight one-possession game, that's exactly what Washington wants, right? Keep it close, and then in the fourth quarter, maybe make the big play. You mentioned Mike Evans. He will be a game-time decision with that knee hyperextension. They say, like, bone bruise. Dr. Chow said, actually, he would be surprised. Not if Mike Evans was out there, but if Mike Evans was actually effective, okay? We may see more decoy Mike Evans. You know, you keep on talking about how the Tampa Bay Bucs have done well, but against maybe a lower level of competition. Honestly, I think for me, the critical question, what is the level of competition of this Washington football team that was 7-9, albeit like 5-0 under Alex Smith? But Tyler Heinicke is getting first team reps. Okay, this team, if it's not Alex Smith was 5-0 here for a 7-9 team. All right. And he's not necessarily going to be the quarterback. And if he is, he is absolutely compromised, as we saw. So, like, what kind of schedule challenge is the Washington football team if Tyler Heinicke is the quarterback, Kev?
No, it's. I mean, it's a great question. If you look at this whole, they turned the corner. Bengals, Cowboys, the Steelers win, of course, was good. But then the Steelers lost to the Bengals, and I don't know. The Niners, they had that game against Seattle that was competitive. So you give them that, but they still lost the game. The Panthers, they lost to, and then the Eagles was close. No, you can't. I can't roll with Alex Smith either.
All right, we'll turn our attention to the Sunday games coming up in hour number two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line. As we wrap up hour number one, we were looking at the games that will be taking place on Wildcard Weekend tomorrow. Want to give your attention here. Our friends and partners at FanDuel have a nice market going on that we think is really interesting for a number of ways. You can bet on who will eliminate each team in the playoffs. So, for example, we were just talking Tampa Bay, Washington, right? And, like, you could bet who will eliminate the Bucs. Will it be Washington? Will it be the team that Tampa plays next? And we don't even know who that might be, right? Because if they win, they may see Green Bay next if they are the lowest remaining seed, you know? But if the Rams pull the upset in Seattle, if the Bears pull the upset we're going to talk about later in hour number two, then those matches are completely different. I think this is interesting. It takes some strategy involved. How far do you think they're going to go? And ultimately, Kev, how you think the entire bracket is going to play out? I think this is a cool market. Have you had any time to look at it? Do you have any insights here?
Yeah, so the one thing I would say is it's very unlikely that you're going to pick someone to lose this weekend, right? Like, just play the money line, unless you see an odds discrepancy.
That's fair, unless there's a difference,
Odds are we're kind of looking down the road here a little bit. When you have stuff like this, you want to try and get a sense, how much value are you truly getting? So allow me to just compare this to another market for a second, right? One of the things they have under Team Futures Conference Division Winners is AFC and NFC finalists. So the Chiefs versus the Bills is plus 180 at the AFC finalist matchup. And right. That's interesting. They can't play each other any sooner than that. And that checks in at plus 180. Well, I'm just saying. The Bills, though, to be eliminated by the Chiefs is plus 410. Dog, listen. If you're like, I'm playing that plus 180, I know they're playing, right? Unless you are so torn on what's going to happen. That's plus 410. By the way, the Bills to eliminate the Chiefs is 7-1. I'm pretty sure you could position yourselves on both of those and net more than 180 and be very, very excited about how this thing plays out. So it's a tricky way to play it, but there's value in these markets.
No, absolutely, especially if you think these teams are going to win this week and maybe lose next week. We turn our attention to other markets that we find interesting in the games on Sunday. We come back, hour number two.
You do your own play-by-play in your head when you play horse.
Don't you? You do.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.